I mean, I'd love to just kind of hear what you think are the big themes this year, or what's new, or what especially struck you.
Well, I think one thing that we're seeing for the first time in you know, any materiality is 3D.
Yeah.
Obviously, 3D's been out before in the show, but it seems to me to be sort of a central theme. I guess the fortunate situation is that over the last year, as the format wars resolved itself, Blu-ray, with its tremendous capabilities, looks like it's going to be a fantastic platform for developing 3D. Obviously, there's several different flavors of 3D that are being proposed out in the marketplace, but all of them seem to, at least in terms of physical media, seem to be using Blu-ray as a platform, and it's certainly expandable and has the capability to do that. So I think it's going to provide a growth platform for the, you know, long term for the industry.
And with the different flavors, does there need to be a standard, or just as long as it plays on people's Blu-ray players, that's good enough?
No, there's going to have to be some meeting of the minds in order to have a sane consumer solution here. And I think after the, you know, situation we had with the, you know, at least short-lived format war, that everyone has a desire to have a very, you know, clean consumer solution that doesn't end up in some type of tussle.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
I think it's exciting that Blu-ray is everywhere. You know, you see it, Blu-ray players being built into televisions, now Blu-ray portables, Blu-ray DVD live players with tons of memory to be able to pull things off the internet and store it. That's exciting.
Yeah, we just saw there's a prototype out on the Sony floor for a 400 disc Blu-ray changer. So mm-hmm. I think that's that also. The thing about that is it also signals to the consumer that you can stack your Blu-ray discs with your DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
They play back on the same machine, and that's an important message to get out to the consumer.
Yeah.
You know, we're really, obviously everyone's been hit by the recession, but Blu-ray continues to have extraordinary growth rate, and we don't see that slowing down.
So 3D definitely seems like it's a big theme here. Like, anything else that struck you as like, hey, this is kind of new for CES in 2009? Or really kind of breaking the surface in a way that it hasn't before?
I think another theme is, you know, the silos of acquiring content are starting to break down. So I think what you're going to see soon is, you can see it with digital copy now, where you can buy a Blu-ray disc and you can have a file for your iPod or a file for your Microsoft environment. And, you know, when you purchase content now and in the future, you're going to be able to use it on lots of different devices
mm-hmm.
and easily get it there. And, you know, as Bob was saying, you know, Blu-ray is that platform
mm-hmm.
that kind of delivers that in a very efficient way.
But are you talking about digital files and as
yeah.
well? I mean, like, the thing that struck me with the Apple announcement this week was that it only included audio. It didn't include video, right? So, like, a TV show that I buy from iTunes is still purely locked on my iPod. It's not, you know, it's not going to a
the announcement being...
The announcement that Apple was going to...
That's, you know, that's still a challenge for digital, is that, you know, the consumer doesn't have the ability to buy content on one device and then move it to another.
Yeah, I guess I was just interested to know why, like, to think about, so the why the music side of the house is comfortable with no DRM, but the video side doesn't seem to be.
I think,
you know,
the music side has to be comfortable with no DRM because they've got a platform that they've been selling for 20 years that doesn't
right.
have one. You know,
yeah,
if,
the CD.
Had they put one in, I guarantee you they would not be quite so liberal like they are right now. So.
Yeah.
But I think we've built a workaround for that solution by putting multiple files on this. So when you buy physical media, you can move it into this solution, into a Microsoft environment or into an Apple environment.
Digital
copy.
So
I think we've taken our digital copy standards and worked it around.
Yeah,
the digital copy can play on Apple devices? I didn't think of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's whatever the disc manufacturer enables. To my knowledge, everybody enables it, operating both on Microsoft and on Apple. So we effectively solve the consumer need without having to go into, you know, a big negotiation.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, we learned, I think, from the music industry that rather than trying to legislate against it, we made it easier for the consumer to have a viable, right, legitimate option.
As long as they buy the physical
no,
the
not
disc.
Necessarily, because our, you know, our titles are available through iTunes. If you want to buy it through iTunes, it's available from Amazon Unbox for most, if not all of us here. And many other delivery systems via the internet. So we're trying to be, you know, as flexible as possible. It's a great opportunity because we're creating more and more touch points for our content.
Anything else that kind of struck you guys? I mean, gaming is obviously like a huge presence here. I don't know. I'm just sort of fishing for other stuff that you guys found interesting.
Connectivity to the television.
Yeah.
With widgets, that seems to be almost everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's really the more central theme of convergence.
Yeah.
With devices all sort of doing everything. And the lines blurring between what's a CE device and a game platform and what's a television and a set-top player and a cable box. They're sort of all doing everything, as you know, pretty much people have suspected that would be the trend 10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't noticed as many companies. Like, I wonder if what you're talking about with, like, an internet connection direct to the TV is kind of superseding all of the companies that said we're going to be an internet connected set top box, you know, where you would buy some other piece of hardware and that would connect to the internet and just give you, you know, internet video content. Or do you think there's still something viable in that, you know, set top box universe?
Yeah, I think the consumer will be resistant to buy a set top box just for that. And as Bob said, there is a new wave of TVs that are coming that are internet enabled. You know, either built right into the TV, or you can get an add-on device that you put on the back of the TV, and it's a more seamless process.
Were there other? I mean, I guess having done the tour, like, were there other just particularly cool or particularly interesting stops or things that you?
I think it was interesting to see this closer alignment and partnership between content and hardware.
Mm-hmm.
You have NBC Universal and Sony. Pictures and Sony Television right here on the floor for the second time and really making an impact on how their content is impacted by the electronics and the delivery.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I kind of was writing about and thinking about a little bit was kind of mobile video, and I ran into a couple companies that are trying to be the, you know, we're going to be the ultimate solution provider for getting your video to any platform. I guess I wonder what you guys are seeing there and just what the level of interest is in kind of delivering to mobile devices. You know, whether it's like an iPod or the Google phone where you can buy something, you know, directly from a website or view something directly from a website. It seems like things are gravitating away from the old world of like the carrier pays a big licensing fee and, you know, puts the video on the, you know, main menu. And I don't know, maybe I'm misreading that.
I think it's just more ubiquitous distribution for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure that's the way most consumers want to view their content.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, more ubiquitous access, and as Mike said, through digital copy or other ways to get be able to pour it around, it's just another option for the consumer, and that's
mm-hmm.
a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to have a world where you can download content onto your onto your BlackBerry or whatever other handheld device,
uh-huh.
and then it's, you know, automatically is populated in the devices that you have at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when I think we can realize that vision that Craig is talking about, is just, you know, having our content available everywhere at any moment.
But is the sense that there isn't like much consumer demand yet for, you know, for video here, whether it's short form or long form video, or?
There's clearly demand for short form. You know,
mm-hmm.
for
yeah.
long form, you know, I'm not sure that that's the way most consumers want to view long form.
Mm-hmm.
But you see it developing now in short form. You know, on the tour, I was whispering to Amy Jo, it's not that there's so many new cool things. That was a couple years ago. This
uh-huh.
is much more about the things that were cool a couple years ago were brand new. You can feel like they're all being fleshed out. It's real. The prices are down to an affordable price. It's a full portfolio, you know, again, not to go back to the same comment, but when you look at Blu-ray, it's not just that there's a few Blu-ray players and you can get it on your PlayStation. Now you have portables. Now you have it built into televisions. Now it's everywhere. You know, it's just every booth, it's everywhere. And I think that's consistent across all the things that were cool a couple of years ago, that now they're real and everybody's fleshing them out and providing a full portfolio.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
One thing that I wonder if you think is going to ever kind of get to the tipping point of consumer adoption is there are a couple companies around with these, you know, displays built into the glasses where it's like you can be on a plane and, you know, plug into your iPod and, you know, have the, I guess, the illusion of, you know, a 50, 60-inch screen in the glasses. Do you think that's something that ever...
Those are little gimmicks that sometimes they take off, you know. Sometimes the quality gets there and they do take off. It's hard to tell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Sony showed a prototype at the opening session yesterday. So it's something that Sony Electronics is working on.
I think media has become a lot more portable video content than I ever suspected, you know. Because in the early days of DVD, you'd never see it on a portable player in a computer or in a minivan and things like that. So mm-hmm. it became very, you know, very portable. But at the same time, you look at this show, and in contrast to the music business, our business is very high-end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got $1,000 displays out there that continue to get better and bigger and thinner that, you know, show movies better than they've ever been before. And it's just incredible. You know, you've got... on one end of the thing, gigantic screens with high def, and on the other end of it, you know, very small screens that are very portable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty exciting time.
Did, I guess there were some of the real micro projectors seem to be proliferating too. I don't know if you guys saw any of those on your tour, but like the sort of cell phone size digital projectors. They seem cool, but I'm kind of trying to figure out, like, is there an application there for consumers, or is it mostly a business?
I've always dreamt of having my PowerPoint
display. Right. Right. Well, you know, not being able to ditch your laptop bag is it's not a terrible thing.
No.
The other thing that is interesting, like, I don't know how widely it's being adopted, but, you know, trying to push live satellite TV delivery to more cars, like AT&T has a thing that they're showing here, and I guess maybe Sirius and a few other people are doing live satellite TV to cars. Is that something that feels like it's getting momentum?
AT&T made an announcement about a 22-channel service that they're working on in conjunction with the ATSC Opal video announcement as a standard, but it's going to take some time to flesh that out. There's still trying to build the business models, the partnership models,
mm-hmm.
to make that a success. But again, it's that whole content is everywhere and the opportunities to enjoy it in more ways than ever before are what people are focusing on.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other themes that kind of you focused on in the tour?
TV in your car, you can be wearing the glasses, watching
right.
watching
but you better
movie
not
while
text.
You're
yep. Get your texting.
Don't text and have a headset on. And you're calling for service. Make sure the headset's on.
Were there any other themes that you were kind of emphasizing on the tour? Or, you know,
well, we were pointing out all the elements the gentleman mentioned, but also the opportunity of bringing this all together seamlessly in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key, that with all these options out there, we need to find a way to make it as convenient, as flexible as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these products, and the content, and services they carry are communicating with each other a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's new and exciting ways of doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it was I was thinking a little bit about the BD Live stuff, because there were some other startup companies that were showing kind of similar... approaches to kind of like communication and social networking and sharing that, you know, were more for around internet video, you know, so you might be watching something from Hulu and wanting to tell your friends that you really loved it and they should watch it, or, you
right.
know, another internet video site. Do you see that kind of like social stuff happening around content consumption being a, you know, being
well,
a big trend?
A lot of us are experimenting with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so nascent. Such early days, but a lot of us are experimenting with our products and see how consumers use it, how interested they are. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it's very much like the early days of DVD, where we just put a movie on a disc and people loved it. You know, today we're putting high def on a disc and starting to play with what's happening with the immersive experience of being able to bring things down from the internet. But it's early days, and you know, today we fill our DVDs with all kinds of value added content. You know, you'll see the
mm-hmm.
DVD Live develop. But it's happening. We have at Universal, we have a lot of titles planned for 2009, where we're going to continue
the experimentation with BD Live.
Mm-hmm.
To me, a BD Live is somewhat analogous to the widgets on the internet-connected TV, in that it's the same thing, it's convergence. It's no matter what device you choose to use as your primary entertainment device, it's going to have a lot of capability to be connected. And again, whether it's through the television directly or through a set-top player that's going to be internet-connected, they all sort of do the same thing. They connect you, you interact, and it enhances the experience so that, say, for example, movie watching or even television watching doesn't have to be only a sit-back experience.
All kinds of things that you've never done before. It's a way to keep the franchise going, the entire year with kind of new events and different ways to, entertain people.
Mm-hmm. What I guess one maybe last, kind of area to touch on is, it seems like, one of the undercurrents of the show that people don't, necessarily address is kind of the economy and sort of what does that do to, spending on consumer electronics. But what's your read on kind of what does that do to spending on content in this environment? I mean, clearly, we're seeing a lot of the electronics retailers, close stores, and so that sort of hurts the channel for all of this stuff. But does an economic downturn have an impact on sort of home video and home entertainment?
Yeah,
spending?
I would say that definitely consumers are more discerning about how they're spending, and we've seen it in our business. We would be silly to say that it wasn't affecting us. It's affecting us far less than most other industries because people are cocooning more than ever. Home
mm-hmm.
entertainment is more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really see any meaningful evidence of slowdown in the adoption rate of Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
People came out in droves to buy the players. Many stores the players were out of stock.
Mm-hmm.
The disc sales, on a percentage basis, you'd be hard pressed to find something that has grown as rapidly as Blu-ray discs and Blu-ray players have.
Mm-hmm.
So so going in, I think it's still a value for the consumer where you can buy a player that's backward compatible, that fully realizes the potential of their HD TV. So
mm-hmm.
so we're encouraged.
I think the big learning in the fourth quarter is those titles that are so truly collectible, ownable, repeatable, they did great. Dark Knight, Mamma Mia. I mean, these titles did really great. Titles that aren't quite so ownable, repeatable, those are the ones that using David's word, consumers are more selective about and maybe don't choose them as often. And that's what's happening. The titles like WALL-E, consumers just happen to have. They're going to continue to do great. Titles that I won't mention, that maybe aren't as repeatable, maybe won't be as collectible and collected as they were, in tough times.
We're also finding sort of the overlay of two big factors. One is the economy,
mm-hmm.
and I think in the past we've seen that home entertainment, as David alluded to, can be somewhat counter-cyclical
mm-hmm.
in that it is a sort of cocooning experience. However, we also have the end of, the tail off of one format and the beginning of another. And whenever we have the meaning of those transitions, the market always seems to take a bit of a dip
mm-hmm.
as people sort of slow down their consumption of the old format before they necessarily build the consumption of
mm-hmm.
the new format.
Yeah.
Just take a look at what happens when on December 25th, millions of Blu-ray players are given as gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Those people aren't consuming Blu-ray players yet, and that's what all eyes are sort of on the first half of this year to see how they quote-unquote feed the machines.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've got is maybe for the first time a format transition
mm-hmm.
happened at the same time as one of the worst economic situations we've all faced in our careers.
Yeah.
So, one thing's okay, challenging. Two things at the same time lead you to some declines, but I think, as you said, we've sort of made it through maybe better than a lot of industries have,
yeah.
but we certainly have, seen, some impact.
Yeah, and I think as an industry we're going to have to go back and redouble our efforts to make sure that we continue to promote the format and
uh-huh.
the attributes of the format. This time last year we were really motivated, because there was competition There was one upmanship in the market between, you know, when we had the format wars, and then we won.
Yeah.
And then we kind of fell back a little bit to our normal marketing patterns, with maybe the exception of the True Blue campaign that all of us here put together and funded. But I think we need to sort of roll up our sleeves again and say, okay, well, now the competition is the recession, and now we got to communicate to the consumer that this is a great value and a great way to enjoy your family and enjoy leisure time activity.
Well, I guess one thing that you got me thinking about, since we've talked a lot about Blu-ray, is just what happens when someone comes to you and says, hey, we want to sell movies in HD over the internet, you know, whether it's, I know there's some titles on Apple iTunes that you can get in HD. Like, is there a little bit of reluctance to sort of push movies in HD that you can download just because of maybe A, the bandwidth issues, and B, you know, Blu-ray is kind of more of a priority right now?
I'd say we have to look at it from an economic standpoint. First off, you know, no one is downloading or delivering in Blu-ray quality, so they can call it HD, but it's not really at the same level as Blu-ray is, and those titles will, you know, continue to be available, continue to move into the marketplace, but we don't think it will slow down the adoption rate.
And I'll just say, from a Disney standpoint, we're format agnostic. Mm-hmm. You know, we make sure that we have the content before we provide our content to any platform. We make sure that we have the content security and the business rules, mm-hmm. the usage rules, and the economics of the transaction, such that it, you know, we're format neutral. Whatever way the consumer votes with their dollars, they vote with their dollars. So I think it's somewhat of a fallacy that, you know, because the bulk of our business has been in physical, that people make the leap that we're somehow protective of the physical business.
Right.
Our business, at least, again, I can only speak for our deals are such that whatever way the consumer wants to go, we welcome it. It's just the consumer who's making the decision to spend all their money on the physical media right now, not the studios. You know, the consumer's voting with their dollar, and they're largely voting for physical media still. Now, 10 years from now, that may be different. And we're enabling that, and we're sticking our toe in the water and participating with different platforms. But the consumer's making their decisions, and they're voting quite loudly for physical media right now. Mm-hmm.
But are all of you doing some number of titles in kind of internet downloadable?
Oh, sure.
High
sure. Data? Sure. And the way these business models are set up, the way the business models are set up, as Bob said, we really don't care.
Okay.
It's kind of like there's like quality and price and the time that you get to view it. You know, those are kind of the three things, and they're set up nicely across each platform.
Uh-huh. So, Bob, you said good, better, best, meaning like the best is Blu-ray, standard def is still a good.
Yeah, standard def is still, you know, better, and, you know, digital delivery. Again, I'm speaking of standard def, and I know there's been, you know, a lot of speculation about, you know, in the cloud, 3D delivery of it. And ultimately, you know, that may change the definition of good, better, best. But right now, there's good, better, best. And, you know, like I said, the consumers are voting with their dollars, and, you know, quite clear. Mm-hmm.
The biggest trend that we haven't talked about, which is the biggest trend out there, is just the opportunity to continue to improve your home entertainment experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it in every booth. It's bigger, more precise, or better picture, better sound.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's less expensive.
Thinner.
You know, yeah. Everything's thinner.
Yeah.
Except thinner. For me.
Eco-friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, but you see that in every booth, and that's the trend, and that's the big win for everyone.
You don't see anything in the music business that way, right? When I went to college, it was the size of your system that defined your marvelous, right? And, you know, there's nothing out there like that.
Did you guys go to, I mean, I'm curious if any of the keynotes, anything from any of the keynote speeches struck you, if you went to the, you know, the Ann Sweeney keynote or the Howard Stringer keynote or any of the other ones? Or have you guys mostly just been...
Well, I could go on and on about the Howard Stringer.
Uh-huh. Right.
I don't know, you guys would have...
What struck you about that, other than, you know, lots of great cameos from Tom Hanks and John Lasseter and Katzenberg?
No, I think it's, you know, it was both the fact that there was still a lot of innovation going on,
mm-hmm.
and you know, even though everyone's kind of accepting the reality of the marketplace and real it, where it is, there seems to be no slowdown in creativity. Everyone mm-hmm. is continuing to innovate, continuing to improve the product offering for the consumers. And I think that that is what will ground this this industry is to just continue to stay focused on innovation.
Mm-hmm.